Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast, and oh my god, if you're watching the video, what on earth are you looking at? Look at all this stuff. Look at Peter gesticulate wildly. We've got a monitor there. If I turn to look, it's because there's a monitor there where I can look at stuff. Peter is pointing at a huge television screen that's behind us. It's got the Triple Jump logo on it, all sort of neon.
Neon.
It's very exciting. We've got fake bricks on the wall.
Don't ruin the magic.
We've got real white plastic bricks on the wall,
yeah,
which is hugely exciting.
Mm.
And this is our brand new podcast space. We, of course, are sharing it with our wrestle senpais.
Yeah.
Cultaholic Wrestling.
Who I think have already unveiled this on their channel.
They have. We are the first to record in here, but our podcast goes out after theirs.
Yeah.
So you may have already seen it, but we were here first.
If you're not watching on the video version of this podcast, and if you haven't watched Cultaholic's video podcast,
welcome.
What are you doing?
It's like the chicken hat all over again, isn't it?
The chicken hat.
We were there first,
yes.
But it went on Cultaholic first, which is very sad.
Mm.
Sad state of
affairs. Yeah, we bought the chicken hat.
We did, and we made a video, but it didn't go out until then. Anyway, my name's Ben.
My name is Peter.
Peter, are you excited to be here?
So excited.
I think this is either laughter or applause.
Okay.
Right. That was a total gamble.
Yeah, we don't have
headphones.
We don't have headphones on to monitor.
No, I mean the headphones are there, but they're so far away.
Which one's the funny man or woman?
That's the wah wah wah.
This one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
maybe. It's still going though. Oh no, it's stopped now. Now some of these are Cultaholic stingers.
Okay.
For podcasts and stuff.
We if don't have you any like of us. A lot of chocolate on your biscuit.
That's one that they use.
Yeah,
we hear that a lot. We are also underneath an office upstairs, which may present new audio fun creaky noises.
Yeah, no more hype train and no more someone doing the hoovering.
Well, I think we'll get the hype train because there's an awful lot of vents on this wall,
yeah,
and we're still
well
facing the train room. Line.
True.
So we may get even more hype trains.
Okay.
It's very exciting. We're thrilled to be here.
Mm.
This setup is probably going to change significantly over the next few weeks.
Issues.
Exactly. We just spent half an hour trying to get the lights right because they were reflecting off the TV. We're going to get additional lights at the back, which illuminate the real bricks. It's hugely exciting.
Yeah.
This is a video game podcast, though, as I already mentioned. We are sponsored every single week by a brand new company. I've got the ad read here.
It's how we were able to afford a room like this.
It is.
Thanks to sponsors such as...
Dreams. Dreams, Peter, is a video game where you can create pretty much anything that your imagination can conjure.
Is this a real sponsor?
This is not a real podcast. This was, in fact, made in Dreams. I'm sorry to shatter your entire universe, but this is actually a podcast within Dreams. It may look real. It may feel real. In fact, you at home listening right now, what are you doing? You're walking the dog. You're driving to work. You're sat on the train. It's all in Dreams. I'm sorry to shatter your entire universe, but all of this has been created in Dreams.
That's how good a tool Dreams really is.
It is. You idiot. How could you even think it was real?
God.
You had your breakfast, you went to work, you listened to this podcast. Surprise! It was all made in Dreams by Noob Slayer 455.
Someone's just controlling you with the motion sensors in your PS4 controller, just waving you around.
You should have known when you were bouncing off the ceiling and smashing into all the walls that actually maybe it wasn't real life. However, that is also a huge lie.
Oh, thank God.
Idiot. Reality is what we perceive it to be. Don't worry. That was actually not true.
Well, is it?
Not a real sponsor.
Is it? Is reality really what we perceive it to be?
Pinch me.
I'd rather not.
Well, then how am I going to know?
Well, exactly.
It's a mystery. The real sponsors, Peter, are, of course, the wonderful patrons at home listening to this. Patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. If you support at any tier, and there are various tiers available, but the minimum is $1. If you support at any tier in a financial sense, you'll be able to ask questions on this podcast. We do a weekly podcast post asking 4 questions. It goes on a Tuesday, and I put the running order together on a Wednesday. So you've got sort of 24 hours to submit your questions. People who've managed to do that include David Lever.
Correct.
Yes.
Would you like to know what David Lever said?
No.
I mean, you put together the running
order,
so you probably have an idea.
I already know.
David Lever says, "Are you guys a sucker for sales? Are you good at resisting them? I get drawn in pretty easily. I even used to buy games I couldn't run on the off chance I'd have a better computer in the future. My Steam library is horribly bloated from Humble Bundles. Also, what's the best thing you've ever gotten in a sale? For me, it's probably getting Mario X Rabbids for like £10. Got a fairly boring answer for this.
Yeah.
In that I normally tend to resist sales and therefore I can't even think of the best deal I've ever gotten in a sale.
Oh dear.
That's my contribution to it's not quite.
That's a really good one.
I've got a couple of Humble Bundles through the Yogscast Jingle Jam years ago, like sort of 3 or 4 Jingle Jams ago. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there on my Steam library that I've never played and never will.
Right. Can you name one of them?
Ark, Rust.
Yeah. Is VVVVVVV on there?
It might be, yeah.
Because that's definitely one I got in an indie bundle, a Humble Bundle years and years ago, and I just never played it.
Cube Men or Cube World or something like that.
Sounds like one. Do you have Steam Dig? Again, that's another one probably.
I don't think I do, but...
What about Stick Fighter? Also sounds like one that would be included in Humble Bundle.
Yeah, I think Stick Fighter may be. Yeah.
What about Table Water?
Table Water is, Table Water Biscuits. Mm. Yes, delicious.
Mm. Did you ever get, complete anecdote time.
Right.
Did you ever have water biscuits as a child and you were told, these have got like no calories in them whatsoever?
I still have water biscuits.
Oh, Christ. Okay, well that...
Not as a snack. I mean, like, not on their own is what I mean. I have them with chidge.
Okay, they're just such a nothing biscuit.
Do you not like water biscuits?
Just be a cream cracker or get out.
Oh, yeah. No, I normally get cream crackers, but if I had the choice of cream crackers or water biscuits, I wouldn't mind. The good thing about cream cracker is it's square, which means it's very easy to put bits of cheese on it, slices of cheese.
And also you can't fit the whole thing in your mouth in one go.
No, that's true.
You have to be careful.
Whereas a water biscuit is round and therefore it's difficult to...
Oh, really? I had rectangular water biscuits.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. But they do taste an awful lot like water. And and it's just sort of, I'd almost rather be drinking water.
Well, it's just nice to have the crunch with your cheese, I think.
I suppose, but then just, you know, cheese is so bad for you anyway. What's a water biscuit going to, how's that going to mitigate that?
Well, no, it's just a nice texture. It's not about whether it's good or bad for you.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm glad we did the water biscuit chat.
We got that out of the way, didn't we?
I didn't really have anything else to add to this question.
It does say
it's a good
in
question,
here,
though.
It does say in here water biscuit chat.
Remember to have the water biscuit chat. Yeah.
We did do it.
It's scheduled.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As a non-PC gamer, I have never borne witness to sales, really.
Right.
But I'm very aware of their, especially on Steam, how much they destroy people's wallets and therefore livelihoods.
Yeah.
PlayStation has gotten a lot better about their sales in the last few years as we move more and more towards digital games. So I've bought a few things. I did actually talk about it on the podcast at the time, that the Resi bundle, Resi 4, 5, and 6, for about £15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's generous, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
That's a bit generous. And I also recently bought Real Farm.
Real Farm.
It's currently retailing for $34.99. Guess how much I paid for it in a sale. I would like to add that I don't intend on playing it. It's just... I kind of wanted to own it because it was so cheap.
Because of the discount.
Mm-hmm.
And you say recently you got it.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Like a couple of months ago.
And it's $34.99
now. $34.99 now.
What about $4.99?
24p.
24p?
24p.
What?
Yeah.
It's such a specific number as
it's
well.
Very, I don't know
it's
how it was calculated.
99p or...
Nope. Real Farm for a brief period was 24 pence.
That sounds like a glitch.
PlayStation Store. No, it was. I read articles about it and everything.
God.
There were two games that were, one of them was like 39p and one was 24p, but I wasn't interested in the 39p.
No, that's too much.
But I thought, well, for the hashtag content, maybe we'll need a farming game at some point. 24p seems like a decent investment.
Hope you claimed it back through the company.
Wow.
It's a business expense.
It's a bit too rich.
Yeah.
To
a bit cheaty.
To really putting through the, I mean, you know. We had other things to spend money on.
Yeah,
there's no way 24p could not have been afforded.
Get
from
on
the
that
budget.
Patreon, God,
absolutely
no, it's fine. I've just realised I mean, I bought Resi 4 recently in a sale. I don't even remember how much it was, but it was like a fairly good price. It seemed
was discounted.
Yeah, but I have remembered something I bought on Steam in a sale, which was a huge Star Wars games bundle pack. I can't remember what the name of the bundle is. But I've got like 7 Star Wars games that all just arrived at the same time in a single purchase. I've got like Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy.
Yeah,
I think Star Wars Bounty Hunter, Battlefront 2, as in the original Battlefront 2. Maybe even Battlefront 1 might be in there as well. And then like Star Wars Starfighter and Jedi Starfighter, those two flight sim games.
Yeah,
loads of them really.
All in one bundle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
That's quite impressive.
I can't remember how much I paid for it there, but it was on sale.
Right. Which is the stuff? Right, there we go. That's surely picked up. Yeah. That's some creaking.
Creakums.
What was the Star Wars game that BioWare made that everyone loses their minds over? Was that KOTOR? The RPGs?
Yeah.
That was. And are they on PlayStation now? Is that what you said? Were you talking about Steam?
No, I'm talking about Steam.
Okay.
Because
I'm not sure that they are on PlayStation. That's the one I'd really like to play.
Yeah. No, I don't think they are on PlayStation. The Jedi Outcast is on PlayStation now, and Jedi Academy is coming soon.
Okay.
But no, I don't think KOTOR is.
Well, I'd like to play those at some point, and I want to do it from my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I know I could go right now and buy it on Steam, but I want to play it on my PlayStation.
Well, for a time, and I've been assured by people in my chat on live streams recently that this has been fixed, but for a time, KOTOR didn't actually work on Steam.
Brilliant.
So it had just been like crudely ported and apparently not tested at all because if you booted it, the menu just wouldn't respond because it was built for a controller. Or maybe it was that the only testing that had been done was with a 360 controller plugged in and they'd not tried it with mouse and keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I remember, I booted it up really excited to play it and like my mouse wouldn't allow me to select anything on the menu and I couldn't get past it.
Fantastic.
But I think it's now been fixed. I've not tried it though.
You would hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would hope so. Peter, it's time for a section that might be a little longer than usual. So
it's
a good thing we're getting to it after only 10, 11, 12 minutes, however long it's been. It's time for What We Play In.
Oh.
Peter, it's What We Play In time.
Mm-hmm.
What We Play In time.
Time we've been playing. I not been playing games because I've been in London, but played a little bit of a game.
How was London?
London was good. I, at time of recording, I went on Friday morning and I got back on Monday night. I had a 4-day weekend.
Okay.
So that means at time of recording, there's only been 2 days available for me to play video games.
Right.
One of those days, Tuesday, I spent just doing all the things that I should have done on the weekend, but I was in London. But because I knew that What We Play In was coming up, I quickly played a bit of video games.
What did you do?
I did a tiny bit of Crash and then got bored almost immediately of doing the same run.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Still on that last thing.
Last little bit to get the relics, yeah. And then I switched on BioShock, which I did.
You did end up getting it.
Get in the end,
I was wondering because the games have now gone.
They have.
The new games are out.
Yeah. So as I'm sure most of the listeners are aware, it was available on PlayStation Plus as the free game for February. The whole BioShock collection, in fact, not just the first game.
Yeah.
And my Plus ran out in January, which was annoying because I really like BioShock. And although I own it on Steam and have owned it on previous consoles as well, I did really, really want to get it on my PS4. So I was debating for a long time, like, is it worth me signing up for Plus? And how much should I sign up for? Because normally I sign up for a full 12 months because it's better value.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to sink, like, what is it, 40, 50 quid?
Yeah.
I think it's £49.99 or £45 or something. I don't want to sink that right now. So in the end, I got 1 month, which means essentially I just bought BioShock for $6.99.
Right.
But, you know, that's still a good deal.
No, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. So played the opening of BioShock 1, which is... Oh, it's still really good, isn't it?
It's a very good game.
It's a very good game. So spookums.
Yeah.
And it's that weird aesthetic, the sort of the Art Deco architecture, and then all the splicers with their weird masks on and stuff.
Yeah, it's all quite cartoonish, isn't it?
It is. It's like they've all come from a masquerade.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great. I enjoyed it. But yeah, that was, you know, 36 hours time that I had to quickly play some games for the podcast. So
right.
That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I've played a few things. Mm-hmm. I continued BioShock 2 at home. Are you going to sit down and you're just going to creak forever? Oh, this is going to be a real thing, isn't it?
It is. I think it sounds like there's a toilet up there.
Oh, boy.
I heard a flush and now I can hear a hand dryer.
Fantastic. This is, you know what? We don't know how it's going to impact the recording. So let's just assume it's fine.
It might not be audible.
It might be fine.
It's definitely audible.
Yeah, I can see it on the levels. It's dead. Okay, never mind. Good. Well, anyway, BioShock 2, talking from being sort of flushed away, I am making slow progress with that game. I haven't played much of it, more since last time. But man, I do feel I can see the game. I can see the game development in it.
Like,
I can see just how it's designed. Where every time I get to a new area, I know that I've got to find the little sisters and I've got to go into every room and make sure they harvest the atom while I protect them. And then I've got to deliver them. And that's on me as a player, that I feel a compulsion to do all of that before I move on. But I just feel it's an extension of what I was saying last week, where I reach a new area, an open-ended area, and I just think, okay, that's enough for now.
Yeah,
I can't be bothered to even start exploring this right now.
Yeah,
I feel like I take one step forward and then I stay in an area for like 2 hours and then I get to take another step forward.
Right.
And it's just very slow progress. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but it is a bit tiring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm persevering. I am still enjoying it. But sometimes I feel like it could move a little bit quicker than it is, because it seems to be designed with intending for you to hang around in these areas for a while.
Yeah.
Which is why they're bigger, I suppose. But it's just, man, I kind of want to move through things a little more rapidly.
It's, as you say, it's the kind of thing that makes you want to turn off, and also the kind of thing that doesn't make you rush back to turn it back on again.
Right.
You know, in the same way I've said before multiple times that I struggled with The Witcher 3 just because I turned it on for the first time and thought, oh God, oh, there's so much. It's, oh Jesus. And you know, that's a good thing, certainly in The Witcher, maybe not necessarily in BioShock 2, maybe it is. But yeah, it can be very daunting.
Yes, I think that's mainly it. I think it's just when I start it up, I think, right, I'm in a new area. I've got to find, how many little sisters? Okay, I've got to find a little sister. I've forgotten I've got a little sister with me because I just got killed and there's one waiting for me outside the Vita chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Pick that back up. It's weird. It says strange things that make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then we got to go farm those people again, burn through all that ammo and then pick up the money and then buy more ammo and do it again. And I feel like while the story is intriguing to me, there's not enough story stuff happening at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of get to an area, work your way through all the little sisters, find kill a man, find a few audio tapes and have Sophia. Is it Sophia Lam?
It's been a long time since I've played that
game. I think Eleanor is the child.
Right.
So Ms. Lam, she sort of taunts you over the radio. And then you move on to the next area. And I don't feel like I'm doing anything meaningful yet. And I've been doing this for a few hours now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it will change.
Yeah.
And I'm not enjoying it.
Okay.
But I am ready for it to speed up.
Yeah,
that's where I am with BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all I've played, though.
No?
Played a little bit more Resi 6 at home. That game is stupid.
It's very silly, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun. I just did the bit last night with... from Chris's campaign, which is the action campaign in a game that has a lot of action anyway. And it just transitions into you driving down the world's longest highway on the back of sort of a Humvee with a gun mounted on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit where you're chasing Ada Wong, who's in a sports car,
right.
And it keeps cutting to clips of her, and it looks like she's being fast forwarded, and it's almost comical how fast she's going around corners. It doesn't look real or right. But there's a bit where you go around corners and you're banking up a hill, and you do a full loop, but there's never any road above you. So the game is sort of auto-generating this road in front of you, but it doesn't make structural sense
because you're going
in a circle up, like you're winding back on yourself, but there's nothing, there's never anything above you.
You're like driving up a spiral staircase of
exactly.
road.
Exactly, but there's no spiral road above you.
Until you get to it.
It's really weird.
Right.
It's just sort of placing it in front of you.
Like Gromit.
Just like Gromit.
Yeah.
It's a very silly game, but there's a lot of fun to be had with it. And I fought the Danger Roombas again. You remember the Death Roombas?
Yeah.
They're great, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. Prototype something or other. It's just Death Roombas.
How did the bus get in the car park?
There's a lot of buses in that car park.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's just the first thing I always think of when that game comes up.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's my favorite bit. Right. I've played the Final Fantasy VII demo.
Of course you
Final
have.
Final Fantasy VII remake demo. This is an extended version of the EGX one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the whole first bombing run from the very start of the game. So it's basically the first 40-45 minutes of the game.
God.
Which is very generous.
Well, it is, given that this is going to be an episodic sort of chapter release. So how much of like the whole first act do you think that's going to be?
Well, I don't...
Hopefully not too much.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. The first disc of Final Fantasy VII, which is roughly the first part of this, will take you in the game between 8 and 10 hours thereabouts. And this is really sort of fleshing out that first area with side quests and things to do and new dialogue and perhaps new characters and stuff, just sort of building on that universe that exists already. I streamed it. So the stream's available to watch now at twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. You can go click on the videos tab and watch that. And that'll be around for like another week or so before it disappears forever. I thought it was really, really good.
Good.
Music's great. Voice acting's great. Typically Japanese with the,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you had headphones on for that bit.
Yeah.
But combat's great as well. I think it's really good. And it got me thinking, and I'm glad that Stephen asked this question. The Final Fantasy VII Remake demo was released this week, and it got me thinking if games releasing demos can be the deciding factor for someone purchasing the full game. What do you guys think? Because you don't really get many demos anymore.
No.
And I feel like this is a stroke of genius, and I wish more games did it. Not necessarily giving away so much, but, you know, just the first 10 minutes of the game is... Like, this game is so highly anticipated that to drop the first 45 minutes of it for free, a month before it comes out. That's a pretty brilliant idea, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only like semi-major release recently that's done that is Medieval.
Yeah.
Other than Final Fantasy.
Yeah. It whets appetites. Mm. It gets people excited. I don't think anyone's played this and thought, well, it's not very good, is
it? Right, yeah.
So... I think I'd love to see more games do this. Mm. And I think it's a shame that we don't get more games doing this. Because imagine if, for example, what's a game that's hotly anticipated? Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Let you, because Mass Effect 2 did this when it launched on PS3. And I'll always remember that demo as being a really good one. It let you create your character. And then it gave you a long string of code that you could write down.
Oh, yeah.
Which would, when you got the full game, you'd enter that and it would give you the same character.
Mm.
And it let you play through the opening mission, where in Mass Effect 2, everything goes very wrong.
Yeah.
But imagine if Cyberpunk did that. Here's the first half an hour of the game. Mm-hmm. A month, but Jesus, you fall over up there? A month before Cyberpunk 2077 comes out, you get the first half an hour of the game. Imagine what that would do.
Yeah.
People would go crazy for it.
Well, it's funny that, the two examples we've got at the moment are Final Fantasy and Medieval, in that, like, even having a demo in and of itself is like a throwback to the 90s, you know? Like when there used to be demo discs coming out of every orifice You know, now with these two remasters / remakes, you've got demos available for them, and it is a nice. It sort of takes you back to that, like getting a little taster.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. I will buy this. Yeah. I will.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And because it's free, everyone can try it. So people who aren't necessarily familiar with Final Fantasy VII, but have undoubtedly heard all about it for the last few years, will actually be able to give it a go and think, is it worth my time?
Exactly, yeah.
Is it worth my time? But in terms of the game itself, it looks really good.
Good.
And it's very exciting. I have heard a couple of worrying things from game critic friends who have played it for a few hours that it might potentially be a bit linear, which sounds stupid because the first disc of Final Fantasy VII was pretty linear.
Mm.
But it, by all accounts, might be leaning more towards how Final Fantasy XIII did things,
right,
which was big, long corridors with fights along the way and then cutscenes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, because the original game had areas of limited exploration. You'd be able to walk around like the slums
and things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So hopefully that doesn't impact too much. For me, the power of nostalgia is just going to carry the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ultimately, the fighting is good, which is important, and the story and the voice acting and the music is good, and that's probably all I'll need. But temper your expectations a little bit, perhaps, if you're getting crazy hyped, because it may just end up being a lot of corridors.
And it looks like the story is mostly intact. You know, they've recently released another trailer which shows the Honeybee Inn and Cloud in a dress, which some people wondered whether there might be some sort of editing on that. Still don't know if he's going to get into a hot tub with a bunch of men and have them make sort of strange homoerotic / homophobic remarks. Well, not homophobic, but
It's just sort of
he's repulsed by it.
Yeah, it was an aggressive stereotype.
Yeah, it was.
Which is perhaps quite dated by today's standards.
So that might not have made it in.
Maybe not. But they got the cross dressing in.
Yeah,
and he looks beautiful.
He does.
What a beautiful man.
I would.
I know you would. You dog. Very quickly, let's talk about Dreams as well. I've streamed Dreams as well.
Mm-hmm.
That game is astonishing.
It is.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. We haven't talked about it much here, and there's been a lot of, not necessarily negativity, but people wondering, how do they market this game? Are people going to buy it? They've not marketed this game, and I don't know how many people have bought it, but you can basically just make anything in it.
Yeah.
It's so impressive, and I called my stream, it's the YouTube of video games, because that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
There are some astonishing things people have made, and it's only at the time of release, and I know there was an early access period for a long time.
Yeah.
It's only been a few weeks since it came out. I intend to go back to it perhaps once a month just to see how developments have come along.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes everywhere from sort of budding designers who just want to make something cool to people who are recreating entire, like I played through the Stanley Parable. Dreams
that
someone had
that
recreated entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, and I can't say the word because it's a naughty word, let's say flip posting.
Okay.
There are basically loads of flip posting and meme levels, including the quest for cheese, which is the Wallace level that I played with all the cartoon characters in and stuff. It is so much fun to just browse through and see all the stuff that people have played. But something that has come up is what Tyler Hundtoft asked about.
Yes. Tyler asks, with Dreams being so comprehensive, do you think that remakes in the Dreams game will be more prevalent and might detract from big budget remakes? I don't think so.
No?
I think that what is happening in this building? I think that like remakes will be prevalent. I think that's definitely true. But, you know, as you say, you know, it'll be sort of hobbyist developers, people who just want to have a bit of fun. Maybe it will allow people to who've always wanted a remake of a certain game. It will allow them to just make it themselves, or hope that someone else will make it for them, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it will take the place of proper big budget remakes, because you know the developers that are out there, as great as Dreams is as a tool, they have a crazy level of. You know, they've got budgets there, and they've got access to resources like, you know, say original assets from games that they still own.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always going to be a level of quality, certainly for the equivalent of AAA games from the 90s and noughties. I think if you want to recreate the likes of Stanley Parable, which, you know, as, although it was very successful, it's essentially a, you know, it's a relatively simple game when you break it down, then you know, that could almost be like for like kind of recreated in Dreams. But in terms of, you know, something like Final Fantasy VII, I don't think Dreams is ever going to be quite capable of redoing that entire thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's, I think Stanley Parable is the example just because the guy who made it was in chat, and not the guy who made Stanley Parable, but the Dreams remake was in chat and said, oh, can you play my level? Which again is, you know, kind of the magical thing about Dreams. Mm. It's, oh, I've made a level. Can you? Would you mind playing it?
Yeah.
And it was such a brilliantly well done remake that people were saying in the chat, you know, I forgot for a minute that we were even playing Dreams.
Yeah.
It just looks and feels like Stanley Parable because it imported the voice files.
Mm,
And the brilliant thing about Dreams is for the more complicated levels, you can view sort of the roadmap of the levels, and it shows all the strands going off to the different scenes because you can see very briefly where it loads you into another area.
Yeah.
And it was just this huge sprawling map that this guy had put together. And I know largely it's just office rooms and stuff, but it's really impressive, and I don't think it's not gonna take any business away from Stanley Parable. I wouldn't have thought, and that would be a rare example because, as you said, no one's gonna be remaking Final Fantasy VII Remake in Dreams. They might do the opening mission, and it'll be, wow, look at this amazing thing that someone's been able to do in Dreams. But I don't think it's not gonna make them lose any business necessarily. The aspect of whether or not people who make Dreams levels that are really successful should be compensated is a whole other discussion. However, in this instance, I don't think companies have anything to worry about truly, but it might be too early to say.
Yeah.
Who's to know where Dreams is going to be in 6 months' time?
Yeah.
It could be in a completely different place.
Yeah, we'll have to watch it. Watch this space.
We will. But that's what I played.
That was a lot.
It was.
It was. And those two little questions included weren't part of the questions we brought today.
No.
They were bonus ones relating to what you've been playing.
Yeah.
So we're only moving on to question two now.
Ridiculous.
Ben, would you like to read Callum's story's question?
I'd love to read Callum's story.
Callum's story.
Callum's story says, if you could choose any game over 3 years old to have a new final DLC released, which would you choose and why? This could be it. To add an epilogue, wrap up a loose story arc, or just to add a few more hours of fun to a game you've already played to death. Oh. Peter.
Yeah.
If there was a game, 3 years old.
Yeah.
3 years old.
Exactly
older
3 years
older old. Older than 3 years old. And you thought, man, I wish there was more to it. What would it be?
Well, I didn't necessarily just bring my favorite games that I'd like to play more of, because I think some games, I just did a nice, neat little package.
Ooh.
And don't really need anything else added onto them. As much as I would like to play it, I think, you know, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. However,
whisper words of wisdom.
Yeah, let it be. I think there are a couple of games that I did enjoy that I would like to see more of. One of them is Little Nightmares. We played the DLC of that, didn't we?
We
played the whole game and the DLC of that on stream. And I just love the whole aesthetic and atmosphere in that game. And I want to see more weird sort of bogeyman-style monsters coming at you, going to get you, see what else they can do. I mean, Little Nightmares 2 is on the way.
You're getting a sequel.
Yeah, and they're releasing bits of concept art and things on, they've got an official Twitter account, it's just like at Little Nightmares 2 or something like that, and they're showing off little nightmares from that, which is, it's all very exciting. But, you know, if I could just wave a magic wand and have some more Little Nightmares tomorrow rather than have to wait for the sequel, then I would do that. Also, Battlefront 2, you know, it's a much maligned game, but one that I sometimes defend on the podcast. I enjoyed the story of that game, despite the fact that it was essentially just made up of multiplayer objectives that were crudely disguised as
single player
action. But, you know, story-wise, gameplay aside, I would like to see more of that. They did one little bit of DLC called, I think it was called Aftermath, which came out just before The Last Jedi came out. And I did wonder whether they might surprise us with a bit of pre-Rise of Skywalker action. They didn't.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm always up for more Star Wars, so I would take that for sure.
Yeah.
What about you?
I've only got one noted down, actually, because when I think back, as you said, I think most of the games that I really liked were kind of, that was good. Or they already had DLC and so on. So I'm choosing Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham Asylum, which I believe didn't have DLC. I should have checked. Certainly didn't have story DLC. And because that's the, I prefer Arkham City to Arkham Asylum. But I think Arkham Asylum is the better constructed game in terms of Metroidvania style, returning to areas with new gadgets and stuff and so on. I would love it if there was just perhaps a DLC of some kind or an expansion where, oh, wait, there's another wing of the prison.
Oh.
And you go in there and it's got a villain that isn't necessarily in that game running it. And this is assuming that Arkham City and Arkham Knight hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And they just had a villain they hadn't used running that part of the asylum. And it was just entire, because Arkham Asylum did a brilliant job of letting all of these bad boys and girls share the screen together.
Yeah.
But I feel like this expansion would probably really allow for one villain to shine and perhaps play out a famous, I haven't got any off the top of my head, but perhaps play out a famous comic book storyline.
Yeah.
But just in this expansion. So whatever it is that they need to do to Batman. So say if it was all about Bane, maybe he just breaks his back at the start of the DLC.
Oh God.
And you've got to sort of slowly recuperate and, you know,
just Batman in a hospital ward.
Inject himself with adrenaline or something and wear some kind of exosuit just to try and take down Bane. And it, you know, he gets mobbed by thugs and stuff. I don't know. But I feel like an expansion to Arkham Asylum could have allowed for some pretty cool stuff like that, maybe. But that's mine.
I've got one more sort of wild card entry.
Wow.
Because it's from a PS2 game. So no possible DLC capabilities there.
Right.
But it's a game I've touched on before in the podcast. It's called Haven. And it was meant to be the first part of a trilogy. Mm. It didn't sell well enough, so the other two didn't come out. And the first part of the trilogy ended with your protagonist being chained to a rock and left to die.
Brilliant.
And the villain even says to you, right in your face before the credits roll, "All that effort for nothing." And then that's it. And you're like, yeah, actually, yeah. What did I do that for?
What was the point?
Yeah. So I'd like an epilogue for that, please, where he escapes his chains.
Where
and
you
saves
suddenly
the day.
Win.
Yeah. Just very in the space of like 2 hours. You know, the entire rest of the trilogy they had planned just plays out. But, yeah.
Or maybe just a cutscene.
Yeah.
He gets all up in your face and you're chained up.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, hang on. The chains aren't done up. And he goes, oh, swear word.
Oh,
and then
flips.
You punch him so hard he explodes.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll.
And then chain him up and leave him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What an ending.
That's what I'd like.
It's time to move on to something very strange.
Ooh. It's weird news.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's time for the section where we do weird news. It's called Weird News.
It is.
I've got a weird news.
wonder where they're going.
Yeah.
So hastily.
Hopefully to a shop where they sell rubber-soled shoes.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Or very, very thick shag.
Welcome to the tiptoe floor.
Mm. I've got a weird news story right here. It's according to Kotaku, and it's written by Luke Plunkett. We know that one.
We do know that one.
11-year-old... I'll start that again. 11-year-old Grand Theft Auto fan caught driving real car.
Oh.
11-year-old.
11 years old.
An 11-year-old in Blackpool, England, has been caught by local police driving an actual car, all because a family member, quote, was fed up with the child playing Grand Theft Auto all day on the PlayStation.
So the family member took it away, or what's the connection there?
Well,
yeah.
Lancaster police said the boy was driving this Vauxhall Astra, pictured below, around a car park, having been brought there by the unnamed family member for practice.
I was opening a tweet.
I tried to enlarge the photo for Ben there.
Oh dear, it's okay.
This Vauxhall Astra.
Whoa, that is one hell of an Astra.
It is. God.
It's red.
I see you, baby, shaking that Astra.
Very good.
There's an embedded tweet here from Lanx Road Police who say, the driver of this car was 11 years old. Yes, 11. A family member was fed up with the child playing GTA all day on the PlayStation, so brought him out to practice driving on a car park.
No.
In Blackpool.
Oh, for God's sake.
We go back to the article. Despite the adult's best intentions, they've been reported for traffic offences.
Brilliant.
Yeah, great. At least they didn't take the kid out to
shoot,
tie a man up and pull his teeth out with pliers.
That's true. Could have done that.
Zap his nipples with a car battery.
Or stamp a man's head so much he gets brain on his shoe.
Yeah.
Which is also... People loved Trevor. I found him repulsive.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he was just... Trevor was a bit much for me. I didn't enjoy him as a character.
No.
I thought he was so shock factory.
He was supposed to be almost satirical, and he wasn't supposed to... There's apparently some like subtext there where you have to have a really high IQ to understand Rick and Morty.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't obvious to me. He just seemed a bit gratuitous, really.
Yeah, it was just a bit meme lordy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just like, it wasn't funny. It's just like, all right, we get it. Settle down, mate.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was pretty weird.
That's weird.
You got something weird for me?
I have got something weird for you.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's from Push Square. We know that one.
We do.
Written by Sammy Barker. We know that one.
Yeah.
You've met him. You do know that one.
Okay.
Pro FIFA 20 match decided by rock, paper, scissors.
Oh.
After server issues is the subtitle.
Right.
While the world of live football continues to lament the use of the controversial VAR, professional FIFA 20 is also under attack after elite players claim they were forced to decide the outcome of a qualifying game using rock, paper, scissors. This is because the servers for the title weren't fully functional, so it prevented the pair from connecting to each other online.
What?
There's a tweet. This is from Sean Gallia? This is from Sean. I cannot believe it, 2 exclamation marks. At EA Sports FIFA, at EA FIFA Direct, we literally had to play a rock, paper, scissors because we couldn't find each other to invite in an EA-licensed qualifier. WTF! ! 2 crying emojis. I am done.
I thought you were going to say that, like, there was a problem just with, like, the penalty shootout or something at the end. Like, it was a draw.
Right.
They'd done extra time.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a draw. It goes to penalties. And then suddenly there was some like glitch or something. And like, you know, they disconnected. And then they were like, okay, well, maybe rock, paper, scissors. That would be slightly more understandable because it's, you know, it's a tiebreaker. But they didn't even play their match.
No, they didn't.
Unbelievable.
It's an embarrassing look for EA Sports, and it's been forced to comment on what it claims is a unique situation. But the hardcore community continues to be disgruntled by the soccer sim with star Donovan Tex Hunt, Tex, T-E-K-K-Z, that is, not T-E-X.
Tex.
As in Techers, I'm assuming. Disgusting. Claiming no one enjoys playing it in a startling post-match interview a couple of weeks ago. Would you like to hear that clip?
Yeah.
Come on now. I've pressed play. Do I have to press it again?
The game is so, like, unrewarding that anyone can win. Like, guys who aren't good can win on FIFA 20. And no one enjoys playing it, but, you know, we're here, and I'm in the semi-final now. So, yeah, that's that.
There we go. That's a professional FIFA
player.
He
sounds like a professional FIFA player.
He doesn't sound
No one
very
enjoys good. Playing it, like, but even people who aren't good at the game can win.
Yeah, that's
Shut
true.
Up.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
That's something I would say when I lose to my brother, who's 9 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing I don't understand about this news, because it makes for a great headline, right? Mm. And it's widely reported on. But it doesn't solve the head paper scissors.
Yeah.
Which is clearly the name of the game.
Yeah.
Header volley overhead kick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't solve, surely, who wins the game in-game. Because if it's a licensed EA qualifier, it doesn't matter. Like, we could be in a tournament,
yeah,
right? And it's in, say, Worms, and it matches us up in Worms, and we have to play each other. The servers don't work. We say, oh, all right, let's play rock, paper, scissors. It doesn't matter who wins. The game doesn't know. We're still tied up, aren't we?
Right.
We're still meant to play each other. If it's in the game, EA Sports, it's in the game. How's it meant to know you've played rock, paper, scissors in real life to determine a winner?
Well,
does one person have to forfeit? Because that's what I don't understand. It's not really explained anywhere that I've seen how it was communicated to EA post rock, paper, scissors.
Did you say this was at an event or it was just in a tournament?
It was just in a qualifier. It seemed like they were at home.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I guess they would have to be. Otherwise, you would just play locally. So, no, you're right there. I kind of, in my head, I just imagine them at some sort of EA
tournament.
Yeah, and you know, there was an issue and they played rock, paper, scissors and then reported it to some adjudicator who was there and said, well, I guess he won then.
Right.
But yeah, if they were at home,
how's the game meant
how
to know?
Do you even play rock, paper, scissors remotely anyway? I guess this is Skype.
This is what I don't understand. And I don't fault Push Square for this because it's been reported by a few places and none of them. Mm. I looked at the original tweet thread. There's no context given for this.
Right.
It was just, oh, we had to play rock, paper, scissors because FIFA wouldn't work. It's like, I have so many questions.
Why not just wait until FIFA works?
Yeah, exactly.
The tournament's not going to continue without you if it's their fault.
And I'm not saying that you know, FIFA 20 is blameless in this because clearly FIFA 20 has a lot wrong with it.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, I don't understand how playing a game of rock, paper, scissors is meant to advance anyone in this tournament.
Mm.
Or how, especially if it's a qualifying match of some kind or it's EA rankings or something.
Yeah.
What are you meant to do? Maybe one of them just has to forfeit, which gives the other person the victory by default. But nobody said that.
And then it's an honor system anyway.
Yeah, they might not do it. So I don't understand. There's more context needed for this. But either way, it's not great for FIFA 20.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's had a lot of bad press.
Oh, dear. It's time to move on to a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Archers Be Cray.
It be.
Who want to read?
What are you guys' opinions on over-the-top physics in games, i.e. Red Dead Redemption 1, GTA 4, even the Minority Report game? Do you prefer games with over-the-top or less-than-realistic physics? I, for one, love the over-the-top physics in games.
Me too.
Me three.
I thoroughly enjoyed playing Minority Report for Worst Games Ever, which at time of release came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Especially when we added the silly cheats that had men sticking to us and smashing through windows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was great. I've always loved ragdoll physics. I never played Skate, but that looked super fun.
Yeah. I was really bad at it. It was a game that I would, I'd like to be good at, but I wasn't.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
I actually misread this question when I looked at the running order and didn't see that Minority Report had been mentioned. I just saw Red Dead and GTA.
Right.
So I wrote Minority Report as one of my answers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But I've got loads. I'll just name them because I'm not going to talk about each one. I might talk about one or two. There was a game, are you aware of Midnight Club?
Yes.
The driving series. I believe in Midnight Club 1, that was quite an early form of, I'm fairly sure if you hit pedestrians, their limbs would just go everywhere. And okay. I've got a vivid memory of playing it when I was, I mean, a fair bit younger because it's a PS2 game. Mm. And running over this woman. And she said, somebody get me an ambulance. And her arms were just wobbling all over. I'm pretty sure people might correct me and go, there's no ragdoll physics in Midnight.
What are you talking about? It's at midnight. Everyone's in bed.
I'm pretty sure it was that. It may have been the sequel or something. But yeah, Midnight Club. It's good game.
Excellent.
Skyrim. animals flopping around when you smash them or getting hit by giants. That's a lot of fun. Hitman 2, that's an early game. I think actually Hitman 1 had the ability to drag bodies around, but Hitman 2 I played, I'm talking about the original run of Hitman games here. That was the first Hitman game I played, and that blew my mind at the time that you could like drag a body around and hide it, you know, put it somewhere where the guards aren't going to find it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of interesting flopping going on there. You could sort of drop them off balconies and things like that, and that was always fun. The FIFA Impact Engine, right? That's
when
great.
When that first debuted.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
Super fun. I don't actually play much FIFA, but I've seen clips online, you know. That makes it one of my favorite ragdoll physics engines in the world.
If you play rock, paper, scissors and you lose, your entire body just flops down.
Yeah. And finally, Max Payne.
It's
great, isn't it?
That is a good one.
With the bullet time combined, it's good.
Sort of
flopping around.
Great.
Yeah, launching yourself at people.
Phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
It really is. I have a few.
Yeah.
GTA 4, my friends and I used to do when I had people over or I went over to theirs or, you know, my friend's house in particular who had GTA 4, we would get on a motorbike because the physics in GTA 4 were fantastic.
Yeah.
Weird.
Was it called Epidemic, I think that engine was called? Something like that.
Euphoria.
Euphoria. It began with an E.
Something like Epidemic. Yes.
I've been reading the news too much.
Yeah. There was a particular stretch of road where you could get silly speeds in GTA 4 on the superbikes.
Mm.
So much so that the world around you blurred.
Yeah.
And if you hit a vehicle head on, you would be launched from the bike. And probably the most disturbing thing is actually it's quite realistic physics-wise, but you could go so far and so high that we used to just have competitions to see how far we could launch ourselves off motorbikes, which is quite horrible, actually. In GTA 5, there's a button you can press or a combination of buttons where you just flop.
Yeah, jump and punch.
Yes. Yeah. So I like to jump and flop just onto cars and into signs and off buildings, and that was always fun. A time where I didn't think it was very fun, and this is part of the reason why I ended up actually just not finishing it, was Red Dead Redemption 2. How easy it is for your horse to die is frustrating anyway. But I had a couple of instances where I was near the edge of something or slowly making my way down it, and there's clearly just a number or a threshold of digits that the game reaches where it suddenly decides, okay, ragdoll physics, go.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, ah, and you curl up in a ball and just roll down a hill and take so much damage.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the horses as well. It just, you fall down or you slide down one hill, a hill that's just slightly too steep.
And, its legs
and the
just
game
go.
Just goes into overdrive of like, well, whoops, here we go.
It made for a good video at Vidiots when we had to kill like
it
five
did.
Horses in 5 minutes or something.
It did make for a good video.
Without a gun. But
it's very frustrating.
When you're trying to actually play the game legit, it's not ideal.
So it's not always perfect. Well, there we go. It's time, Peter.
It is.
To move on to a big discussion. It's time for a big discussion.
That's
big
true.
Discussion time. This question comes from Chav Chav.
Chav Chav Rams.
Chav Chav Rams.
He does.
Who
Chav
says,
Chav does Ram.
This table is so slidey. I'm going to do a new script. Can't even pick it up. Chav Chav Rammers says, hello, boys. It's been a little while. While I was busy with other things, I've been keeping an eye on the gaming industry, and the one thing that keeps coming up is the C virus. Don't say the actual name, because YouTube will demonetize you immediately.
Is that true?
Well, they did last time when we did the podcast about which had the weird news about the Plague Inc. sales spiking, presumably because people were running simulations. That got demonetized, and we appealed it, and they confirmed it was not suitable for most advertisers. Gave no reason why. So it's just like, well,
I wish they would just give a
reason.
Can
we just not talk about viruses that are really important then? Is that not allowed?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll call it the C virus. Can we come up with a better name?
It sounds like a Resident Evil thing, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh,
yeah.
We've got the sample of the C virus here.
Wasn't that in, I'm trying to remember any character's name now.
Yeah.
Shelley Birkin.
Shelley Birkin.
She had the C virus.
She had the C virus, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Mm. She's fine. Forgotten where I am. The C-virus. Don't say it in YouTube, it demonetizes you immediately. Sony has pulled out of virtually everything and others are following to the point where GDC has been cancelled. Mm. How will this fare for E3 and the long-awaited PS5 reveal? Discuss!
Yep, GDC cancelled. EVE Online Fan Fest cancelled.
Yeah, Plague Inc. has talked about that before. It's gone.
It's gone now.
In China. Can't play it.
I believe that the reason Plague Inc. has been taken down is because they said... I read an article about this, and they said, we always see spikes in sales whenever there's any kind of sort of disease outbreak, not just C-virus. Mm-hmm. And they said, we understand why people... You know, people are more interested in how these things are transmitted when there's an imminent, seemingly an imminent threat.
Yeah.
And I think basically the reason... They didn't say it in so many words, but I think the reason they took it down is because they thought, we don't want people... using our video game as medical advice. They say we try and base our game on, we try and give it a lot of realism and believability and, you know, base it on actual disease transmission mechanics in the real world. But please don't just look at Plague Inc. and think, oh, well, this is how C-virus is going to move around the world. Here's what I should and shouldn't do based on this game. So I think that's why they took it down.
They didn't take it down. The Chinese government took it down.
Oh, well, maybe for that reason, but the Chinese government took it down.
Yeah. I mean, the Chinese government, they're awful.
They do seem to be being awful.
They're really, really terrible. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah.
I did actually see a post at the time where they said they were really disappointed that it had been taken down and they were working. They'd been given no explanation and they were trying to get it back up for their Chinese players.
Okay.
Obviously, everything you said is correct. Mm. Nobody should get medical advice from Plague Inc. It is a video game, but it is a quite, you know, it's a pretty decent simulation of how this thing works.
Well, that quote may have been from them playing devil's advocate, saying, oh, we understand, you know, we don't want people to use it as medical advice, but we'd rather it hadn't been taken down off the internet. Yeah. That's probably what they were saying there.
So the Chinese government pulled that, which is a shame. I don't know if you heard about this, but Switch production has been delayed for the Japanese market.
Oh, really?
The Outer Worlds Switch port has been delayed currently because the Singapore-based developer is currently closed.
Right.
Apparently everyone there is fine, but they've just closed as a precaution. And Oculus Quest... which everybody and their mum is trying to pre-order because of Half-Life Alyx. Mm-hmm. That's on back order because none of them are being made currently.
Well, I mean, you don't want to be sharing headsets, do you?
If that's you don't want to be sharing headsets, do you?
No.
It's technically headsets, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah.
So there's been all sorts of stuff that's been cancelled. PAX seemingly is going ahead, / I don't know when it happens. Mm. I pay no attention to PAX because it's irrelevant to us.
Yeah.
But
as video game journalists,
I did hear that was going ahead, but with increased hygiene standards put in place. You did a very accurate tweet about hopefully people just maintain this level of hygiene full stop.
Well, because it's the interesting thing is certainly the UK government, and I'm sure pretty much all the other governments around the world, or at least not in nations where C-virus is absolutely rife. But, you know, in the US, et cetera, we're being told, look, just wash your hands for 20 seconds when you come in from work or you come in from public transport before you eat.
Don't lick any bus stops.
Yeah, just wash your hands thoroughly, sneeze into a tissue and, you know, just be a clean person. Now, for me, I don't know about everyone else, I wash my hands before I eat all the time. When I'm in the office, especially, you know, I always wash my hands before lunchtime. I tend to wash them when I arrive in from my commute in either direction. And, you know, I wash them for a reasonable amount of time. And I kind of feel like there shouldn't have been a spike in soap sales.
or antibacterial hand wash, because
transferring. No.
Antibacterial hand wash is going to do nothing.
It's viral.
Gel. It's not doing anything.
But there's, even hand gel aside, there's been a massive spike in just like Carex and Sanex liquid soap.
All the toilet rolls gone from Japan as
well. Yeah, it has. There shouldn't have been a spike in hand soap because the government have told you, please just continue to wash your hands in a normal way.
Yeah.
People should always have been buying this much soap.
Yeah.
Because that's how you should be washing your hands all the time. You should
go through it because that's what it's for.
But it's very telling that the moment the government say it's really important you wash your hands for 20 seconds before you eat and when you've been moving around in the pub, you know, outside, suddenly people are like, oh, I better buy some soap then for my house.
God.
Yeah.
I like the green one because it looks pretty next to my sink.
Yeah.
I don't use it, of course. It's just to look at.
Sure.
See, I honestly don't, and I don't know that many other people do, wash their hands for 20 seconds usually. I'm not there counting 20 seconds.
No, I've not counted 20 seconds.
I will lather for like maybe a couple of seconds and then rinse off again. Mm-hmm. But 20 seconds, I feel like, is the only distinction that, that is really going to change how I behave myself.
I've always been a bit of a germaphobe, personally.
Have you?
Yeah.
You must love going to EGX, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, we always have alcoholic hand gel with us there, don't we?
We do, after any use of a controller or anything. Don't touch your face.
Well, my mum, when we used to come in from school, she would always... We would sort of like take our shoes off at the door and then she'd go, have you washed your hands? Wash your hands.
The outside world is dirty and wants to take you away.
Yeah, my mum is it's sort of a running joke in my family how germophobic she is. So I think some of it has rubbed off on me almost literally.
Not the alcoholic hand gel though.
No, because it dries almost immediately.
It doesn't work. Again, alcoholic hand gel is not going to help you here.
No.
Just wash your hands.
It will stop you getting other bacterial stuff, but...
It won't stop the C virus.
No, because it's a virus.
And it'll turn you into a zombie.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Resident Evil. Now, the main question here, how is this going to affect stuff? In terms of the next-gen consoles, obviously they are overwhelmingly manufactured in China, which has been very, very heavily hit by the C virus.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, in fact, that I'm sure you've seen the graphic of the pollution levels currently in China have dropped in just by such a factor that I can't even think of a number in my head.
Because no one's going outside.
No one's there. Foxconn, all the companies that make this stuff, nobody's there. Mm. Nobody's making it. So I think that, I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but as long as everyone is sensible and companies exercise sort of restraint in terms of asking people to come into work if they're not well, but also countries don't underreport the amount of cases that are going on.
Yes.
And actually put in place measures where people can go and get tested and not charged several thousand dollars America, then this thing could be tackled, not easily, but it could be tackled.
Mm.
And while it's going to spread for a little while, there's a very good chance that it will start to die down by the time we're looking at new consoles actually being manufactured towards the end of the summer. So that may not be impacted too much. Right now, there's going to be an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And as Chav Chav Rammer says, Sony are pulling out of everything. A lot of companies are pulling out of stuff. I'm kind of worried about E3. I don't know if E3 is going to go ahead.
Oh, yeah, might not.
But if they follow the lead that PAX puts on, you know, depending on how they decide to tackle it, and if people come away and they all got the C virus, then something that was not a good idea, clearly. And gamers, let's not generalize, but you see some absolute specimens at these conventions.
It smells almost immediately after opening, the whole place smells
people
weird.
For whom hygiene is not a priority, and that's not everyone, but they are certainly there, and you can tell who they are.
Yeah.
E3 sounds like an utter nightmare at this point. Hopefully things will have started to clear up by then, but I'm not convinced that E3, the convention, will necessarily happen.
Mm.
We've spoken about E3 quite extensively. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be a load of conferences surrounding that, because people don't need to be there. And in fact, if E3 is scaled back or cancelled entirely this year, and all these companies have got to find another way of showing people their games, and they do it through live streams, they might all actually realize, huh, we didn't need to go, did we?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't go next
year. It'll be another win for each, is the sort of personal direct stream.
Who would have thought the C virus can be put in the column of reasons not E3 shouldn't be around anymore?
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't like to be wandering around a convention hall at the moment.
Especially as it's becoming more consumer focused rather than retail and press focused.
And also, given that C virus is, as we say, not bacterial. If it was, then I wouldn't feel so bad. As long as I just had loads of hand gel with me, and I'm sure they would just like fill the convention halls with like hand gel dispensers.
Yeah.
Everyone would probably be relatively okay as long as they don't sneeze on each other, you know. but you know, you can't even like do so much in terms of washing your hands when, you know, you're using controllers that other people have been using and
sniffling on.
You're in a queue and breathing the same air. Mm-hmm. You're all cramped into a little theater to watch something and someone starts coughing.
Exactly.
Like, oh, God.
So, no, I mean, it might be the wise thing to do. I mean, if anything, I think PAX need to maybe check themselves a little bit. In the grand scheme of things, what I should say is, I don't agree with all the scaremongering going on about this. Mm. I think, I mean, I'm coming at it from the privileged position of a white middle-class male from the United Kingdom, but I think it's not going to be the apocalypse that the media really like to sell it as. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, over in, you know, China particularly, and also places like Italy, it's not going so well over there.
No.
And it's still something that definitely needs tackling. People are dying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for the most part, we're all probably going to be okay. Yeah. On average, you will be fine. Statistically, you are going to be okay.
A few of you might die statistically.
Yeah, but not you.
But not the important ones.
No.
Not you. No, obviously it's horrible.
Of course.
Anything that involves human lives being lost
is
tragic and horrible, and that's obviously how we both feel. But you're right. This will go away. Mm. The media flip storm surrounding it is ridiculous, and you have to, again, this goes for politics as much as anything else, including the C virus. You have to be very aware of who's telling you it's going wrong, because they might have a financial interest in telling you that it's going wrong, so you buy their products.
Yeah.
But
or even so, you just buy their newspaper to hear how badly it's going
how
wrong.
How badly is it? But they do realize that newspapers, you can just open those and look in them, right? Mm. You don't even need to buy them. You can just look inside them.
Don't even touch them. They might have C-virus on them.
Yeah, and also I think it's, what's worse, C-virus or that ink residue that's left on your hands after newspapers?
Don't like that.
I think it's the ink that's left on your hands. I don't, obviously.
No, people are dying.
The important thing is that while it may seem extreme that everyone's getting sprayed down with stuff when they're getting off planes and people are being put into quarantine and isolation and told not to go places if they're feeling unwell.
Thrown around in the streets of China.
Well, not that bit. That's not part of the point. That's not part of the point I'm about to make. It may seem extreme, but this is how this is tackled.
Sure.
Because if it wasn't not physically tackled in China, but this is how this kind of stuff is tackled. It might be scary to see that, but that's just how it has to be to make sure things don't go any further. Mm. And slowly things will be repealed. And things will go back to normal. Yeah. But for now, just be sensible. I don't think it's going to affect video games too much, honestly, apart from the very present danger that's being threatened. Mm. And it's, you know, it's widely predicted, especially in the UK, that the amount of cases is going to rise, because it's going to.
Yeah.
That's just how this stuff works. But as long as everybody is sensible, and, you know, as you said, we're very fortunate to be in this country and have very good healthcare. Then everything's probably going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And we didn't necessarily want to turn this into a discussion about, don't worry, the C virus can't get you. But,
no, but I was larger aware
than
that we're...
larger than games.
Yeah.
You know, this is the reason why Sony is not sending their staff to GDC, and so many others have pulled out as well, to the extent that it's been cancelled.
Yeah, and I think that it was worth adding it, given that, you know, I was saying, oh, God, I wouldn't like to be at E3. It's horrible. We're all going to die of C-virus. I thought, well, hang on, no. I mean, this is part of the problem, is that media outlets and you know, people, all the people are hearing is, we're all going to die. You need to panic. Go out and buy all of the toilet roll. That's not true. No. You don't need to do that. And I thought it was worth adding in. But yeah, that's it.
There we go. I hope that helps. And that's sort of the state the games industry is in as of the time of this recording. There may be more things cancelled. PAX may be cancelled if it's not already happening. Who bloody knows? Let's find out.
When is PAX East?
I think it's PAX East. Yeah, it's happened.
Here's what I found. It's happened.
It's happened. That was end of February to March the 1st. So that's already gone.
Oh, great.
That's
well,
already done.
Good for them.
We'll see if anything has happened since then. It's not been that long. That's all for us today. Let us know what you think in the comments below, and why not tweet us and get in touch and creak about on the floor.
Yeah, let us know how annoying that is in the comments below.
Because it's really annoying for us. Mm. Peter, how can people get in touch with us?
We're Team Triple Jump. We're Team Triple Jump everywhere. Our content goes out on youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump, where we do videos and also live streams, which are moderated by Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. We've got social media, twitter.com and facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. Facebook is very well looked after by Luke the Elden Ring.
Yes. His last name is Ring.
Yes, it is.
Luke the Elden.
The Elden Ring. Luke Elden. Thank you, Luke.
Mr. Ring.
We have got a Patreon, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. All kinds of rewards there. Early worst games, asking questions on the podcast. One of the rewards that you can get actually is all the patrons, $1 or more, get access to an exclusive room in our Discord.
No, they don't.
A text chat. It's not a hello.
Hello.
That's a special one.
That's a different
$10 one. We'll talk to you with our actual voices.
Hello.
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 We've got a... You can listen to the audio... Hello? You can listen to the audio version of the podcast at play.acast.com/s/triple jump. But it's everywhere. It's Spotify and stuff. If you just look on there. Finally, we've got a website.
Yep.
Triplej.mup. Where we've got a shop, and hopefully at time of release, if things go to plan at the end of this week, we might have a new job posting on there. If not, it will be coming up very, very soon. So
yeah,
check out the website.
Cliff notes that you need to know, it's going to be for a video editor position.
Yeah.
You have to be UK based.
Yes.
And it has to be with a mindset that if you're actually any good, you would move up here and work with us.
Yeah.
So consider your chances now.
Yeah. So if you're not
have
able
to be UK
to,
based though, that's the important thing.
If you can't tick those boxes and you don't think you'd be able to,
don't
move,
even bother. Don't even waste our time.
Flip off.
Flip you.
No, don't keep your eyes peeled. If you don't, if that doesn't apply to you, there may be more positions available eventually. But
absolutely,
that's what we're posting soon.
There's also a new shirt coming to the shop, which is very exciting. We're just waiting on samples to come in. We'll let you know all about it very soon. It's done with some more wonderful art from our beautiful audience of fantastic people.
Yes.
And it's very good. You should, well, again, we'll talk about it on here when it's ready. Peter, people can follow us anywhere. Not in real life. Don't, that's upsetting.
They don't physically follow us around.
Instagram at @ThatPeterAustin and at @BenPotter20. Twitter at @ThatPeterAustin and at @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch, the solo streams. Thursday being on YouTube, the joint Blazed streams. Worst games ever. It's fortnightly Friday for patrons of a certain tier, just $5. Mm. You get it 2 days before everyone else. Sunday is when everyone else gets it. It's a worst games ever week.
It was good, wasn't it?
Did you enjoy it, patrons of a certain tier?
Yeah, I've not finished editing it yet, so I'm hoping it's a good one.
I enjoyed recording it.
Yeah.
That was fun. The podcast is every Saturday, and we do shows every other week. Obviously, there's no show this week because it's a Worst Games week, but next week it will be an episode of Cut Content, where we talk to a guest about their video game pet peeves, the things they wish they could cut from the world of video games.
Might be a familiar face. Might be someone you recognise.
Wherever, or work with. Well, not that you work with
them. No, you don't work with them.
We work with them. But you might work with them if the job listing is up and available.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Leave us a review on iTunes if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great. And I am sorry to shatter your entire universe once again, but the sponsor is Dreams. And this whole podcast has been someone's dream creation. We'll be back in the regular studio next week. This is all just a construct from within Dreams. Also, let us know in the comments what you think of our new shiny thing. It's real. It's got water in it.
No.
Oh, wait, it's not real. It's in Dreams. Media Molecule, you've bamboozled us again.
Am I real?
No.
Is real real?
But the end of this show is, enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. Wash your hands and stay safe. Wash your hands, everybody. Everybody, wash your hands. Goodbye.
Have you washed that hand that you're waving?
Well, not since we started doing the podcast. I'm going to go wash it now.
Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.